أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كما أخرجك ربك من بيتك بالحق وإن فريقا من المؤمنين لكارهون يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون. وإذ يعدكم الله إحدى الطائفتين أنها لكم وتودون أن غير ذات الشوكة تكون لكم ويريد الله أن يحق الحق بكلماته ويقطع دابر الكافرين ليحق الحق ويبطل الباطل ولو كره المجرمون. إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم أني ممدكم بألف من الملائكة مردفين وما جعله الله إلا بشرى ولتطمئن به قلوبكم وما النصر إلا من عند الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. Today, inshallah, we're doing the second lesson of Surah Al-Anfal, starting from ayah number 5. And last week, we discussed some of the background of Surah Al-Anfal. It is about the Battle of Badr. And as we know, this was one of the most important battles in Islam. This was the first battle in Islam. And through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims achieved a very decisive victory, despite having heavy odds against them. So we're going to carry on with the surah, inshallah, the tafsir of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in ayah number 5, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Just like your Lord, he took you out from your house with the truth. What is this ayah referring to? There are a few interpretations that are mentioned about that. Firstly, just like the people were afraid to go to war, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had victory written for them, and letting go of spoils also has the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Sahaba that, look, you came out of your houses and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you victory, despite the fact that you had the odds stacked against you, you had so much difficulty that you saw in front of you. You had less weaponry, you had less armor, you had less horses and camels, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you victory. So that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is telling you that in the issue of the spoils of war, it is important that you listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet, so that ultimately you will find that in it is the better situation for you, and you will find that this will be better for you. So كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you out from your house with the truth. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is telling you to distribute the spoils according to his commands, and you will find that there will be khair in it. And the other understanding of this is, just like some were afraid to leave, similarly, they will fight with you regarding the truth. Okay, there was a point that the Muslims were afraid to go into that situation. Obviously, in the initial stages, when the Prophet ﷺ had presented the situation to them, they knew that physically they were weak, in numbers they were weak, weaponry-wise they were weak. So that human nature of seeing their own weakness was in front of them, and they had this hesitation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. That there's a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing you out of your houses with the truth, even though a group from among the mu'mineen are disliking this situation. So this is the second meaning. And there's another meaning which has been mentioned by one scholar who Abu Hayyan is the Mufassir, and he says that I was pondering over this verse for a long time, and I saw in a dream the meaning of this. And he says, and this is a third interpretation, Actually, he has mentioned 15 different interpretations of this verse, but he presents the third interpretation as his favorite. And he says that just like your Lord, he made you go out of your house with the truth, he also helped you. Nasaraka, he helped you. وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. And indeed, a group from the mu'mineen were disliking this issue. So, basically, this portion of the verse, it is not very clear what it means, but these are the different interpretations that the scholars have put forth. And like I said, there are 15 different interpretations of this portion of the verse that have been explained by the Mufassirin. Another thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, kama akhrajaka, and the wording uses akhrajaka, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you leave, and addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So it seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to leave. Okay, this is how the wording seems like, but in reality this is a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? You've probably heard this hadith many times, that when a person, he does the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he gets closer and closer by increasing his nafil ibadah, and then it gets to a point where he does so much worship that his hands become the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his eyes become the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ears become the ears of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith Qudsi. The hadith actually says, I become his hand with which he sees. I become his hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his eyes with which he sees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his ears with which he hears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes his hands with which he holds. Okay, so what does this mean? The love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for the Prophet was so much that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, it was exactly in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. So kama akhrajaka, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you leave, meaning you did exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to. Why? Because you became you became the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through that love that Allah had for you, you did exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to, and he wanted you to leave, and he wanted you to go out of Medina to fight this battle of Badr, so that the Muslim have their first decisive victory. So kama akhrajaka, it is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced him out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. This is what is meant here. Also here, this issue of idafa, rabbuka, your Lord made you leave. Your Lord, he wanted you to leave, so you left. So rabbuka, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all of our Lord. He's our sustainer. So specifically addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, rabbuka, your Lord, it is the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so much that he did the idafa of possession of him being, it's as if he is the only slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is only his Lord. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everybody's Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our provider and sustainer, but this is again the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for the Prophet. That's why he said directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Lord. And min baytika, it refers to Medina, your house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you leave your house, meaning you left Medina to fight this battle of Badr. Wa inna fariqan min al-mu'minina lakarihun. There was a group from amongst the mu'mineen that were disliking the situation. And again, like I said, the natural instinct was that, you know, how can we fight this huge army that is coming here? This army that is three times more than us, fully armed, and they are so sure of victory that they're bringing the women who are singing the choirs and singing the praises of the army before even the battle is fought. They are so sure of the victory, that is how heavily armed they are. So there was a group of amongst the Sahaba that basically had this natural human instinct. It doesn't mean that they were cowardly. It doesn't mean that they did something wrong. But what the situation was, that they were actually, because of that natural human instinct, they had a little bit of fear of Allah, of the battle that was about to happen. يجادلونك في الحق بعدما تبين كأنما يساقون إلى الموت وهم ينظرون. They are arguing with you about the truth even after it's emerged. It's as if they are being dragged towards death while they are watching. So again, this is describing the situation of the Sahaba, that they started, some of them started having misgivings, and again, the natural human instinct of fearing this huge army that is about to come, and they started arguing with the Prophet ﷺ, not arguing, but basically having misgivings. And the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying that it's as if, you know, they think that death is a foregone conclusion, whereas they're not trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help them. And ultimately that is what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help did come down. يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنْ كَأَنَّمَا يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ. Now, I did mention the story a little bit last week, but let's just recap what actually happened in the Battle of Badr. What happened was that there were basically two situations, two groups. We know that the people of Quraysh, they used to travel and they used to pass by Medina on the way to Syria so that they could engage in trade. And this situation that particularly took place, this caravan that was coming, it was a huge caravan. And it had a lot of goods, a lot of money. And it's reported in the Tafaseer and books of Seerah that every single person in Mecca had a stake in that particular caravan. Each person in Mecca had actually contributed to the goods that were coming. So each person in Mecca had were basically stakeholders, and each person had something to lose if something happened to that caravan. Okay, so what happened was that when this caravan laden with goods was coming back from Syria, Abu Sufyan, who was the head of this caravan, he realized through his intelligence and through his sources that the Muslims are going to come to attack. And before that happened, he sent a person named Bambam ibn Amr al-Ghifari to Mecca. And what this person did, his name was Bambam. He went, and what happened in those days was, whenever there was a huge emergency, the person who's coming to tell the news, he used to cut the nose of the camel. Cut the nose of the camel and put the saddle of the camel upside down and tear his own shirt from front and back so that everybody, they know that it's an emergency that's taking place. And they come and start listening to him immediately. So this person, Bambam, he comes up and he does all of these actions. Everybody gathers around and they realize that this huge caravan, everybody who has a share in that caravan, it could be lost to the Muslims. So the cry is out, and everybody's rallied to come and participate in this battle. And every single person who was able to, he is forced to come and participate in that battle. Okay, so now this army is coming and advancing. And during this time, the Prophet ﷺ, he is discussing this issue with the Sahaba and telling them what should be done. Okay, and of course, the Sahaba, you know, the natural instinct is what? That they should go for the caravan. It's easy pickings. They could, you know, come away with a huge amount of goods. And also, they're not armed very well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do something big. And He wanted to look beyond this scope of just making money and plundering this caravan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make it a decisive victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to give a message to the Quraysh that we're not here just as a band of renegades or a band of rebels that are going to continue to live in hiding, but we are here with a purpose, and that is to spread Islam in the world. Okay, and the message was very, very clear once the battle was fought and the victory was there, that the Muslims were here to stay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, He is explaining the mentality of the Sahaba and what was going on in their minds. Allah says, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you one of the two groups, one of the two groups means either the caravan or the army. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it ambiguous, kept it hidden. The Prophet ﷺ was told that you would get victory over one of the two groups. Okay, so ambiguity was there so that the Sahaba could focus on something which is beyond the scope of a normal person. Okay, aim for bigger heights. This was the purpose. And again, we tend to have always a limited vision. Okay, we tend to do things that is in our best interest in the shorter term. We don't look for the future and what the long-term consequences were. We're never far-sighted in our planning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give the message that you have to be far-sighted in your planning. Don't just think of the short-term benefits that you're going to get by plundering the caravan. Think of the long-term benefits. And keeping the ambiguity there, that which of the two groups you're going to get victory over, was basically a chance for the Sahaba to reflect within themselves that what is the purpose of the fight? Is it, you know, the money? It is the ulterior motive? Or is it actually to promote Islam and to give Islam victory? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised victory over one of the two. أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ, that one of the two will be for you. You're going to get victory over them. وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ, and you were wanting, all of you were wanting, that the one that has less harm be for you. Shawka means a thorn. Okay, you wanted the one that is not going to even prick you with a thorn. Okay, you wanted the one that is not going to harm you, which was, of course, the caravan. And again, natural instinct of every human, you want to go and get something which is very easy. You're not going to lose your life. You're not going to get hurt. Okay, so go for the easy one. This was the instinct that many of the Sahaba had, that they should go for the easier one. وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ شَوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ, and you wanted, would means to wish something and to love something. This is what would is. And وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ, wadood means loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving. So وَتَوَدُّونَ, you are well loving to do something, you are well loving to go for the one that is not going to harm you in the least. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give victory to the truth with His words. وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and He wanted to cut the root of the kuffar. He wanted to cut the root of the disbelievers. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Muslims to fight so that it could be apparent who is on the true path, who is right, and who has the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. And that could only happen when this weak group of people fight against this huge army and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them victory. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to do. Go for the difficult one which has the long-term consequences, long-term victory for the Muslims. لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, so that the truth could emerge, the truth could become victorious. وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ, and so that he could falsify the false, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could show what the false is, meaning the Quraysh were on the false path. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, despite the fact that the mujrimeen disliked this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the victory to be decisive. إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ, when you sought help from your Lord. So of course, when the odds were against them, this was the time when the Prophet ﷺ turned completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made a lot of dua to Allah. And he said, oh Allah, if we lose, then this small group of Muslims that have been calling out your name and they've been worshipping you, they will finish and there will be nobody to call your name. Oh Allah, give them victory. And it is mentioned that he spent the whole night in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the actual battle took place. So with this istighatha, with this calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord responded to you, أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ, that I'm going to help you, بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ, with 1,000 angels, one coming after the other. Radifa means that when you are on a horse or on a camel, and another person is sitting behind you. Okay, that's called radifa. Radifa yardafu. That means to ride behind the other. And the person who sits in the back is called radif. Okay, so murdifin, the angels are coming one after the other. One comes and the other comes after that. So one after the other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He's going to send 1,000 angels, and this is exactly what happened. 1,000 angels came down to help the Muslims in the cause of battle. Now, there are other verses in Surah Ali Imran specifically where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says 3,000 angels, and after that says 5,000 angels. So somebody might say, well, this is contradictory. In this ayah it says 1,000, there it says 3,000, and an ayat after that it says 5,000. So how come these three numbers? So the scholars explain that initially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 1,000 angels. Now during the course of the battle, when the Muslims started winning, the cry went out by the Quraysh that we need support and we need backup. And they sent messengers back to Mecca to send support. And it was at this point where the Muslims started becoming upset and becoming perturbed that why is it that support is coming? Okay, we're winning right now, but if more support comes, then it's quite possible that we're going to lose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He saw that the Muslims were becoming upset, to help them out and to make them feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is still with them, He promised that He would send 3,000 angels. Okay, so this is the second stage. Okay, and this is mentioned, أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنزِلِينَ. Is it not enough for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send for you 3,000 angels that were sent down? And the word munzilin is used here. And for the 5,000, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word musawwimin. And I'll explain what the three different meanings are. So this was the second stage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent down 3,000 angels. Okay. And then after that, the promise was that if the going got tough and the disbelievers were going to make a sudden attack on the Muslims and make things difficult for them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if He wanted, He could send down 5,000 angels. Allah says, Bala in tasbiru, and this is in Surah Ali Imran, not here. Bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu wa ya'tukum min fawrihim hadha yumdidkum rabbukum bi khamsati alafin min al malaikati musawwimin. If it happens that you are steadfast and you have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they make a sudden attack upon you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send down 5,000 angels, and they are going to be musawwimin. They will have distinguishing features about them. Okay, so now three words have been used to describe the three groups of angels. The first group, the 1,000 angels, is called murdifin, meaning the ones that come one after the other. And the fact is, or the mufassirin, they say, murdifin, the ones that come one after the other, these 1,000 angels were angels that are usually on the face of the earth anyway. Okay, so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they're going to be around and they're going to come one after the other and help you out. And the 3,000 angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word munzilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send them down, munzilin. Okay, so the understanding is that these 3,000 angels were sent directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heavens to the earth. Okay, they were not normal angels that were working on the earth and they just sent to help, but these 3,000 angels, or 2,000 in addition to the 1,000 that are already there, these 2,000 were sent directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the earth. So munzilin meaning sent down. And the 5,000 angels, which the scholars say it never happened because the sudden attack from the disbelievers never emerged. So the 5,000 angels, it never happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, uses the word musawwimin. Musawwimin meaning distinguishing features. And the word musawwimin actually is used to describe the distinguishing features of a horse. Okay, so the horse, for example, it has a white line going down its snout. Some horses, they might have like a white mark on its forehead. Okay, so these are distinguishing features, and that is known as musawwimin. So what were the distinguishing features of the angels? The scholars say that during the Battle of Badr, the angels that came down, they were wearing white imama, white turbans when they came down. And during the Battle of Hunain, they were wearing red turbans. Okay, so during each battle, they had distinguishing features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knew about. But again, these are according to different interpretations as to what the distinguishing features of were for the angels. So in any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially sent down 1,000. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially sent down 1,000 angels, and then after that he sent down 2,000 more, and then the situation of 5,000, according to Mufassirin, it never happened, and there was not a need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to be sent down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. The fact is that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down so many angels. He sent down so much help to you. Okay. The thing is that even if one angel was to come, he could have destroyed all of these things. Okay, but it was just to give you moral support. Why? There's 1,000 on that side that are coming to face you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down 1,000 angels. Okay, so that you think, hey, this is equal. 1,000 of them, 1,000 angels. But in reality, even one angel was to come down, like we know, that how were the people of Lut destroyed? The one angel on the tip of his wing took up the people of Lut, the whole village, took it to the sky, turned them down and smashed them to the ground. One angel. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 1,000 angels, it was just for the moral support of the Muslims that Allah is sending down 1,000, but even that was not needed. Okay, forget about 3,000 or 5,000. And also we can understand from this is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down angels and so on. You know, the main thing that the Muslims have to always keep in mind is keeping tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you see angels coming down with your own eyes, trust is ultimately in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the angels come down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no will for victory, victory will not come. Okay, so ultimately everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that as mu'min, as people of iman, we always keep in mind, that we understand that everything happens through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we take medication, the medication doesn't do anything except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and when we go to sleep, we're not going to get rest except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we eat, we're not going to get full except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so these are the means that we adopt, but ultimately we should always keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does everything behind the scenes, and He is the one that we need to turn to. So the Muslims are being told here that yes, you see angels coming down right in front of your eyes, but still keep your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who does everything. Allah is the one who gives you victory. So, وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only did this as good news for you. Bushra, as good news for you. And for moral support, وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And so that your hearts could have itmi'nan, so that your hearts could be at ease, that yes, we have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down. Okay, so that your hearts could be at ease. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The reality is that the help is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wording here is very, very strong here. Ma an illa, negative followed by illa. Okay, that gives the impression of hasr or stress, exclusivity. So that only the help of Allah, help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used the word an-nasru min indillah. An-nusratu min Allah. The help is from Allah. But the word used is وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. The help is only and only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Aziz, He is Almighty, and He is Hakim. finish the lesson and we will continue the lesson next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in Hadith.